The Spirit and the Church cry out,
Come, Lord Jesus.
All those who await his appearance pray,
Come, Lord Jesus.
The whole creation pleads,
Come, Lord Jesus.
Gaudete in Domino Semper, iterum dico gaudete. That's Latin for rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You just heard it sung, and it's an invitation. It's an invitation in the form of an imperative, gaudete. It's a command, like take, eat. It's an invitation. Rejoice. It's a beckoning for us to join in with the glad tidings of the King of Kings, just as we hear the word of the Lord our God spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Another command, another invitation. Comfort. Yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Comfort, comfort. It's a commanding invitation. And it is given to be preached as that comfort, as the comfort itself, the answer to our suffering. It itself is our cause for rejoicing. God's people have received comfort and joy from the Lord's hand, paid double, forgiveness for all of our sins. What a clear statement, what a clear confession of faith. Of the faith given to us in holy baptism, given to us in the comforting crucifixion and the rejoicing resurrection of the Lord our God. Gaudete. We can rejoice in this. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Yes, Jesus is the coming one. He is the promised Messiah of Advent, who preached and taught in their cities and preaches and teaches in your cities. And John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets, well, he does exactly what Old Testament prophets are given to do. To prepare the wilderness, prepare in the wilderness the way of the Lord. To cry out and direct others to the Lord's advent. To the works of Christ. To Christ's preaching and to Christ's flesh and blood. So in response to their question, are you the one to come? Jesus answers John's disciples with another inviting command. Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. These works of Christ are inviting comfort and joy. Announce to God's people of old and announce to you that your warfare is ended, your iniquity pardoned, your sins forgiven. These works of Christ remind us and sound quite like the Lord's comforting Beatitudes, which you certainly know. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Gaudete. The comfort is that the dead are raised and the poor have the gospel preached to them. The comfort is not merely that the blind see and that the lame walk. It is not merely that the suffering, those suffering from leprosy are cleansed. These miracles surely show that God is praiseworthy, but they are aligned in ascending order. The greatest miracle of all is that the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Greater than all other blessings given to us as daily bread, greater than our house and our home, our clothing and shoes, our protection from the government, our security from insurrection, greater than the gift of a wonderful choir, greater than the gift of a beautiful snow, that the dead are raised and that the gospel is preached. Gaudete. So Jesus asks the multitudes concerning John three times. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? And each time Jesus asks, he offers a different answer. First, a reed shaken by the wind, as if to suggest that great deeds and enchanting speeches, even miracles and other spectacles, huge blessings, as if are reeds or grass that are rolling in the wind. Second, a man in soft garments, as if to suggest that the first century political powers like Herod or compelling personalities like Caesar are merely men wearing fancy clothing who are feeble like flowers or morally weak kings that appear good for a while but will wither away. Was John Vies a great speechmaker? Perhaps a showman or even a political leader? Is that what they went out to see? That is not John. No, for Jesus asked a third time, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. John the Baptist is Malachi's prophesied Messiah, the messenger, the greatest man born of women, greatest in work and deed, perhaps. But John is less even than the least in the kingdom of heaven, the least, that poor man, that blessed man who hears the gospel preached to him. Neither John nor these poor men are worthy of the kingdom of heaven by their own works, spectacles, speeches, nor have they deserved the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus has given to them and to you by his grace the comfort of his justifying works and his rising from the dead, which becomes your own rising from the dead. Gaudete. Just as John's disciples are asked what they are looking for in the wilderness, we are asked the same thing as well. What is it that you are expecting to rejoice in this wilderness of life? To rejoice in the temporary flashes brought by happiness of a good holiday season? Perhaps rejoice in an opportune time to cash in or to buy into the stock market? Or is it that you come to rejoice in the triumph and security that comes from the putting down of your enemies? Perhaps you have put your hope and you're rejoicing in Elon Musk and Donald Trump. Or are these just like a passing breeze that pushes like reeds and grass? Do we find our joy in the daily bread given to us more than the eternal bread given to us? What is it that your comfort rests on? Is it in your own blooming royal works? Or perhaps we forget that what comfort feels like because of our own struggle with sin, with our weakness, with temptation, and somehow we think that our comfort is our own works and not the works of Christ. And then we forget the comfort given to us. Perhaps the temptations have become too big an offense for us to forgive ourselves or to realize that it is Christ who forgives us. Do our own works wither us away as if we are just some passing king or flower whose glory no longer endures. As Paul says, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by human court," that is, by Paul's own works. "Yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord." We are justified by grace, by the gospel preached to us poor sinners, the grass of the daily bread given to us by our Lord is still just temporary, and the glory of the works the Lord has given us to do will pass and will fade. But the word of the Lord our God stands forever. It is in the name of the Lord our God, which stands forever on you in holy baptism, and his word of absolution, which forgives your trust in these other things. He is the flower that will not fade. The word of the Lord our God is that comfort that we are commanded and invited to hear and to receive, by which to rejoice in song. On Jordan's bank the Baptist cry announces that the Lord is nigh. Awake and hearken, for John brings glad tidings of the King of Kings. Our hymn beckons us again with another imperative command, an invitation. Awake. Awake and hearken, for the gospel today is proclaimed and heard through the words of Isaiah. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh shall see it together. It sounds just like John the Evangelist. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Go and tell John the things that you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. John and Isaiah, Malachi and Paul, they bring glad tidings, and they sing together the works of Christ, the works of the Lord our God. The word of the Lord our God comes to stand in the flesh amidst the waters and the storm, to stand in the wilderness of temptation, and he does not wither away in these things. The word of the Lord our God comes to ride on in the popularity of Palm Sunday and to shake in the bad times of trial and persecution. But he does not fade away in these things. The word of the Lord our God comes to fulfill the prophets' and the apostles' words, to reveal his glorious flesh that all might see it together, that the least in the kingdom of heaven, who is greater than even John, hears this comforting gospel preached to them. The word of the Lord our God stands forever. Gaudete, rejoice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.